It's time for High Plains Public Radio's weekly program, Growing on the High Plains. Here's Skip.
Perhaps no vegetable has higher nutritional ratings and lower popularity numbers than broccoli. Shunned by the British and accepted in France with only moderate enthusiasm, this stalwart and stocky vegetable was planted at Thomas Jefferson's Monticello in 1767. But it didn't really have a place on American tables for almost 150 years. Finally, in the 1920s, broccoli began to be marketed in the U.S. by a pair of Italian immigrants who shipped fresh broccoli from their fields in California to Boston and New York, where it gained acceptance. However, it's still regarded with disdain by many, including former President Bush the Senior, who gave it a thumbs down that was reported nationally and held up to parents by multitudes of agreeing children. Only the Italians and the Chinese have made it a large part of their cuisine, and usually serve it in the best way possible, undercooked and gently seasoned. Otherwise, broccoli is seen swimming in sauces in a supposed attempt to disguise the strong flavors and mushy texture that can come from overcooking. For when it comes to broccoli, less is definitely more. It needs to be freshly harvested, firm and green, with tightly packed flower heads that show nary a tinge of yellow. And it needs to be cooked quickly and concisely, sometimes in partnership with a bit of garlic, onion, or lemon juice. Anything longer than a quick steaming or sauté will probably give you the broccoli of childhood nightmares, strong, stringy, and stinky. And that's unfortunate, because kids initially approach broccoli thinking it might be fun. It looks like tiny trees with spreading limbs that work great for building a miniature forest at the dinner table. The ancient Romans, or Etruscans of Italy, must have thought so too, for the name broccoli comes from the Latin brachium, which means arm or branch. It traveled from Italy to Europe under the auspices of Catherine de' Medici, when she married Henry II and brought samplings of the Italian kitchen garden to France in 1533. I've never grown broccoli in my garden because of the narrow window of planting, growing, and harvesting in our unpredictable prairie springtimes. Because it's a member of the cabbage family and cousin to other pungent cold crops like cauliflower, horseradish, and turnips, it needs consistently cool weather during its growing season. This can be a problem on the plains, where spring temps can quickly fan out in all directions, sometimes reaching the high 90s during the month of April. This causes broccoli and its relatives to bolt upright and make a run for calling it quits just when they should be getting started in our gardens. But this year, I'm going to give broccoli a go. For years, I spent my springtime months in the classroom, and consequently, my gardening efforts really didn't get started until the end of May. But having left the ivory towers of academia, I find I have gained the time to do some of those things the gardening books say should be done early on in the growing year. Things like clearing flower beds, feeding and mulching, and planting cool season crops while it's still relatively cool. I know there's no guarantee that it won't get hot quickly and stay hot for the rest of the summer. And I know that broccoli plants must have an interior neon sign that invites just about every kind of cabbage moth, cabbage worm, aphid, slug, snail, and flea beetle around. And I'm well aware of downy mildew, and am reading up on cabbage yellows and stem rot. But I'm going to give broccoli my best effort. After all, what is gardening if not a challenge? I mean, it can't always be a bed of roses.
Growing on the High Plains is a production of High Plains Public Radio. It's written and narrated by Skip Mancini, and it's produced by Brian Burrell. To hear more Growing on the High Plains, visit hppr.org.